Welcome to The Radical Word, the chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Lancaster, Senior Pastor of Calvary Chapel, French Valley. Open your Bible and ask the Holy Spirit to open your heart so that the Word of God can do a radical work in you.
All right, today we continue our series, Man Plan, Becoming the Man You Were Created to Be, Designed to Be. This is the fourth message in this series, and since it's been a little while, a couple of months since we were here last, it was January, I thought I would do a quick review of what the first three messages were about. The main point is that if we're going to be the men that God created us to be, designed us to be, then we're going to need a plan. We're going to need a plan on how to do that. And we can't, and one of the things I talk about, we can't, you know, do it just any old way. There is a very specific way that God created us and designed us. And so for us to be able to be what we're supposed to be, we need to figure out what the plan is. And we need, ultimately, we'll talk about today about following that plan. So that's where the name of the series came from, Man Plan. First message was God is the planner. And I used as an illustration three children's puzzles, if you remember that. And my point was that we get pieces for our life from many different sources. Three very specific sources. First is we have our own idea of what the plan is for our lives, and so we get our own pieces. And then the world also supplies us with pieces, you know, its idea of how we should live this life. And then God has a plan for our lives too, and he gives us pieces. And many of us, most men, are trying to take pieces from all three puzzles and create one picture out of it. And in the illustration I used of these three different puzzles, you can't do that. It doesn't create one picture. And so we end up living these disjointed and if you will, disfigured lives because we're trying to fit pieces out of, you know, that don't go together. And if we want to live the kind of life that I think we all should want to live, then we're going to need to kind of focus in on one of those. And obviously the best one, in my humble opinion, is God's plan for our lives because that's the one we actually get all the pieces to. All the rest of them, we never actually get all the pieces. There's always some missing. You know, if we don't do that, then we're going to wonder why our life isn't fitting together, why our life isn't working, why it isn't going the way we want it to. God is the only perfect planner. And so only his plan is perfect for our lives. Ephesians 2:10 was the text that I taught out of. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God made a plan for our lives before we were even created. He had a plan. And if we want to live the kind of live any kind of a good life, ultimately it's going to be by living his plan. In that message, I said we need to do three things. We need to acknowledge that God is the planner. You got to acknowledge that He's the one with the plan. And second, we need to humble ourselves before the planner. We need to let him give us those pieces that we need to live that life. And then third, we need to turn away from the world's plan or from our own plan. You can't keep trying to live your plan or live the way the world says you ought to live and live God's plan. It just doesn't work. The second message, I said that man needs a plan. You know, we can go through life just going with the flow of things. We can do that, and that's the way a lot of men live their lives. But it rarely ends up somewhere good. You know, it never ends up the way we want it to. It never ends up the way we think it ought to. And we end up being frustrated and angry and upset and bitter and all the different things that can happen. Man needs a plan, and man needs God's plan. I use John 10:10 for that. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. God has a good plan for all of our lives. And if we figure out what his plan is and live it, that's the life that we should long for, should desire. Third message, I said that if God has a plan for our lives, then it makes sense that he wants us to figure it out, right? Does that make sense? If he has a plan for our lives, which he does, he wants us to discover it. He wants us to find it. He wants us to figure it out. He's not going to hide it from us, right? He's going to make it available to us so that we can, in fact, live it. So in the third message, talked about the plan. You know, one of the things we have to realize about God's plan for our lives, it's not written down in a neat little pamphlet that says Rick's plan. You know, it's not something where we're going to just figure it out. We're actually going to have to do something. I'm going to have to first, I have to go to God to find out what the plan is. And before we go to God, we need to be ready to receive his plan for our lives. Psalm 32, verses 8 and 9, I will instruct you. God says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule. Some of you can relate to that one, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. God has a plan for our lives. It's a good plan. We need to figure it out. Three things I said in that message, traits of someone who is rightly seeking God's plan. First, be teachable. We have to realize that if we're going to follow God's plan, we need to let him teach us what we need to learn so that we can follow it. Because if we don't let him teach us, then even if he does reveal it to us, we're not going to be able to follow it. Second, be movable. As we learn about God's plan, we're going to discover that we need to make some adjustments in our life, right? That if we're living the world's plan or man's plan or pieces out of all three plans, at some point we're probably going to have to make some adjustments. And so we need to be willing to be movable. And the third I said was be connected. You know, for reasons that I think only God really fully understands, he has made it so that we are highly unlikely of discovering his plan for our lives apart from the men he's put in our lives around us. That if you try to do it on your own, you might be able to figure it out, but it's highly unlikely. He has put us in community with other godly men for the purpose of discovering his plan for our lives. You need others in your life. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. That's going to be our text for today. And today we're going to use what is probably one of the best known verses or two verses in all of the book of Proverbs. And it's probably one of the most familiar verses in the whole Bible. And we're going to look at it and see what it can teach us about following the plan that God has for your life. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord God, that you do have a plan for our lives, that we're not just here winging it. We're not here just, you know, wandering aimlessly through life or trying to follow a plan that we don't have all the information for. You have a plan for our lives. It's a good plan. And Lord, all along the way, you're going to reveal that plan to us, and you're going to give us what we need so that we can fulfill that plan, and that through it, you'll be glorified, others will be blessed, and our faith will grow. And we will live that life, that life and life abundant that you promised in John 10:10. And so I lift these men up to you, and I pray, Lord, for open hearts, open minds, that you would give them spiritual ears to hear what you would say to your men today. We thank you, Lord, for this morning, and we pray for your presence here in the message now. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The text for today's message is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Again, very familiar verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. You know, we've heard that verse, right? You've heard that verse, probably quoted it on a regular basis. Anytime somebody needs direction, practically, that's one of the places. If you're you need to trust God, somebody's telling you to trust God, they'll quote that verse. It comes out over and over again. Very, very, very familiar. It applies to all of us. It applies to men and women. So once you guys get it figured out today, you go teach all the women in your life all about it, and you'll be a hero. If you don't have a woman, just keep praying. God will take care of that. First exhortation of following God's plan. Trust God completely. Trust God completely. Verse 5. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Last Sunday, I made a statement that said that most Christians would say they trust God. You ask a Christian, you know, do you trust God? Well, of course I trust God. I'm a Christian. And I made the observation, saying, just saying that you trust God does not prove that you trust God. Anybody can say they trust God, just like anybody can say, I can play golf like Jordan Spieth. I can say that. You know, I can go toe, I can stroke for stroke. I could be right there with him. I can say that. Those of you that have golfed with me know otherwise. Now, we can say anything we want. You can't prove you trust God until there is a visible reason to trust God. Unless there's something in your life going on that demands that you trust him. That's the only way you can prove it. Otherwise, they're just words. My ability to live out the plan that God has for my life is directly related to my ability to trust him. If I'm struggling to trust God in any way, I'm going to have a hard time living out his plan for my life, because his plan for my life will require that I trust him. It's absolutely connected, and you can't have one without the other. My ability to trust God is directly related to my understanding of who he is, of what he can do, and of his relationship to me. As I understand those things, I am going to better be able to trust him. As I understand that God is sovereign, that he's eternal, that he's all powerful, that he's everywhere present, that he's all knowing, as I grow in my understanding of those things and understand how it applies to the various areas of my life, I am going to find it easier and easier to trust him. Bible says there's nothing too hard or impossible for God. The more I believe that, the better able I am to trust him. And then the better I understand that because of Jesus, because of what Jesus did for me on the cross, I am a child of God. That I am a joint heir with Christ. That I have an inheritance set aside for me in heaven. That I have a destiny already determined, that I don't have to worry about where I'm going. I know where I'm going. The more I understand that, the more I understand how God is going to relate to me just as if he were relating to his own son because of what Jesus did for me, and my sins are forgiven, I can go into God's. And more I understand those things, that relationship that I have with God the Father, the easier it is to trust him. And if you're struggling to trust God, it's going to be in one of those three areas, probably. And the exhortation to you then, if you're struggling to trust God completely, it's either because you don't know God well enough, or you don't understand something about who he says he is, and or you don't believe the relationship that he says he has with you. And that's where we need to focus. If you're struggling to trust God, you need to get to know him better. The better I understand all those things, the better I will be able to trust him. The Bible is littered with promises connected to trusting God. Trust me, God says, and he says it over and over and over again. It's a command, in case you're wondering. You're commanded to trust God. And over and over and over again, we're commanded to do it. And over and over and over again, there are promises connected to doing it. So it's not just, do it because I said so. That is a good enough reason. But he does more than that. He says, but here's a blessing that goes with it. In Isaiah 26, 3 and 4, it says this: you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. Whatever we need, whatever we're lacking in our life is in God, is in Christ. Whatever we need. And so we need to learn to trust him in whatever is going on in our lives, whether it be our relationships or our health or our finances or our circumstances, whatever it is. We trust him because of who he is, because of what he has promised, because of what Jesus has done for us, and the relationship that is not something that God can ignore. God cannot ignore the relationship that he has with you because of his son Jesus. Because of what Jesus did for us, because of our relationship to him, God cannot withhold from us any good thing. It's not possible. Primarily because God's word says he can't do it. To follow God's plan, you must trust him completely. Second exhortation, don't depend upon yourself. Verse 5, continuing, and lean not on your own understanding. God's plan for your life is big. It is so big, in fact, that you would have to have the mind of God to understand it. It is so complex. It is so wide-reaching. It is so amazing that it is not possible for us to fully and completely understand it. And so, which takes us back to the first step. You've got to trust him and not depend upon yourself, your own understanding. We need to resist the temptation that most men will face at some point in our lives of taking matters into our own hands. Things are not going the way we want. They're not going according to my plan. I will do something about it. If we don't understand what's going on, we need to understand something that compared to God, we don't know very much. Do you know that? The book of Proverbs is pretty harsh to those who trust in their own wisdom. Proverbs 28:6, just one of those. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Is a fool. But whoever walks wisely will be delivered. Trust not in yourself. Don't trust in your own heart. Don't trust in your own mind, because they will lead us astray. And they're both so limited. Only God can be trusted completely. And gosh, do not listen to what the world is saying. The world will mislead you and deceive you and lead you astray. The Apostle Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians 3:18 through 20. Let no one deceive you. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. As wise as this world might think it is, compared to God, it's nothing. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness, and again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Don't trust yourself. You're not as wise as God, and you're not even as smart as you think you are, frankly. Third exhortation, acknowledge God. Verse 6, in all your ways, acknowledge him. This is an interesting one to me. You know, we might wonder what it means. What does it mean to acknowledge God in all our ways? And I don't know if you guys ever wonder or ponder that. We've said it, we've quoted it, some of you have probably memorized it, but do we really understand what it means to acknowledge God in all our ways? What it means to us is, what it should mean to us, is that God is involved in which part of your life? All of it. There is no moment, not even a tiny little bit of a moment that God isn't connected to in your life. Whether we perceive things in our life as good or bad, God is touching it in some way. Even the evil that touches our life doesn't happen outside of God's sovereign control over the universe. We are acknowledging God when we thank him for the good in our lives. We're acknowledging God when we call out to him when we are in trouble. We are acknowledging him when we come to him when we need wisdom or help. We're acknowledging him when we notice something about the world and give him credit for it. It's thanking him when the lights are green when you're a little bit late. It's thanking or asking for help from him when the lights are red and you're a little bit late. It's recognizing his handiwork all around us. Recognizing that he created the stars in the heavens and he painted the sunset or the sunrise, that he created these birds that are chirping and flying around, and all of these things. He did all of that. And he's touching everything around us. And what he would have us to do is to give him credit, to acknowledge, to put him into every place that we can in our lives. Whatever is going on, find a way to attach God to it. We don't blame him for evil. We call out to him regarding evil. We acknowledge him. God, you see the evil, Lord. You see ISIS beheading and killing children in these places. You see that. And Lord God, we know that you're going to do something. You're doing something. We understand all of that. It just kind of occurred to me, and that's going to make this message a little bit heavy. Lord, you see Americans murdering way more babies than ISIS are through abortion. And God, you see that. And Lord God, you are holding those little ones. You are caring for them. Acknowledge him. Find a way to acknowledge him, because he can. We can acknowledge God in absolutely everything. You know, my knee is sprained. But Lord, you've created my knee, and through your the amazing things of how you created the human body, it's going to get healed. It's going to get better. I don't understand how all that works, but I know it's going to work. And we can see him and point to him and acknowledge him in all of our ways. The Apostle Paul told us in Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Paul says, don't just acknowledge God, acknowledge the Son as well. That we should see Jesus and God the Father just everywhere around us. Not while we're seeing them, walking around, but they're involved, they're touching. And then we throw the Holy Spirit in there. He's the power behind it all. He's the one that's influencing and touching all these things. So if we see God in everything, and we learn to acknowledge him in all his ways, all our ways, we will get to know him better and better. The more we learn how to acknowledge him, the more we learn how to see him, the more we learn how to do this, and we learn that through going through things like reading the Bible. Just reading the Bible will teach you how to acknowledge God, not to mention hanging out with godly men. They'll help you to learn how to acknowledge God in all of your ways. As we do that, these three things will start to do something in your heart and mine. They will start to tune you in to the Holy Spirit. As we learn to trust God, as we learn not to depend upon ourselves, we learn to acknowledge God in all of his ways, all of our ways, then our heart and mind will start to tune into the Holy Spirit. When we were saved, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, inside of you is the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, dwells inside of us, all of him. The fullness of God, the Spirit, is dwelling inside of us. It's a mystery. I don't understand it. All I just know is it's true. And he lives within us for a very specific purpose, and that is to bring us to Christ. To bring us not just to salvation, but to bring us to Christ-likeness. To bring us, to help us to become like Christ in all of our ways. And to help us to live out God's plan for our lives. Without him, you can't do it. You've got to have the Holy Spirit. And he's going to show us how to live like Jesus. He's going to show us how to live through the difficulties of life. He's going to show us how to live through the good things of life. He's going to show us those things. The last thing we need to do, the fourth thing we need to do, is watch for directions. Verse 6, the second part, and he shall direct your paths. God wants you to figure it out. He doesn't want you to wander aimlessly through this life. He wants you to know what his plan is for your life. And he doesn't want you just to know it. He wants you to do it. He doesn't want you stumbling through life just like the rest of the world is, because that's what they're doing. They're just stumbling through life following whatever good idea happens to show up. If another good idea happens, they'll follow that one, and you can see them. They're all over the place. They're, you know, this week it's that, next week it's something else. He wants you to let him, the Holy Spirit, lead you by his word and by his influence in your life. And as we tune ourselves in spiritually, by learning to trust God completely, and that is a process. No one's going to do it overnight. It's a process that we learn as we trust God. We learn to trust God. He puts us in these places where I have to trust him. I learn how to trust him, and time goes on. My trust for him gets deeper and deeper. As I learn how to stop depending upon my own understanding of things. And I learn to see and acknowledge God in everything. We're going to hear the Holy Spirit more clearly. We're tuning ourselves in. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah 30:21 says this, "Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" I love that. That's what he's saying, is the Holy Spirit will whisper in your ear, "This is the way, walk in it." God's plan for your life is amazing, and it's good. It's a mystery only to those who refuse to trust God, to those who will depend only upon themselves, to those who can't see or won't see God all around them. But if you'll trust him, if you'll trust God with more and more of your heart, if you'll let go of your pride and self-confidence, and let God be God in your life, if you'll look for him in absolutely everything in your life, in the world around us, and try to listen for the Holy Spirit, his path for your life will become clearer and clearer. And the amazing thing about when we start walking this plan that God has for our lives, God will not direct us any place he will not enable us to go. And so if God has a plan for our lives, no matter how great, how hard, how difficult it might be, if it's his plan for our lives, he will give us absolutely everything we need to walk it. That we will not be left short even one tiny little bit. We'll get everything we need if we will trust him, if we will not depend upon ourselves, and if we will hold on to him every step of the way. His plan for your life, for your marriage, for your family will become clearer and clearer. And you'll begin to see more and more that his plan extends into every facet of your life. There's no part of your life that's excluded from God's plan. And you'll see how he's woven your life together into something powerful and amazing. And as you follow that path in faith and obedience, you'll realize just how good that path is and how good he is. God has a plan. It's a good plan. He wants you to discover it and follow it. Trust him completely. Don't depend upon yourself. Acknowledge God and watch for directions. And you'll live a life that very few others do. You will live the abundant life that Jesus promised. God will be glorified, others will be blessed, and your faith will grow day by day. Become the man that God created you to be. Follow the plan. Amen?
Thank you for listening to The Radical Word. If you would like to get a copy of this message or this whole series, go to www.radicalword.com. To get more information about Calvary Chapel French Valley, go to www.calvaryfv.com. You can also reach us by phone at 951-600-3845. If you're in the Murrieta area, we would be blessed to have you join us at one of our services or Bible studies.
Pastor Rick. The Bible teaches that Jesus, God the Son, came and walked on this earth. He lived a perfect life and then died for the sins of the world, including mine and yours. By believing that and accepting that Christ's sacrifice was for your sins, the Bible says you will be saved. Why not do that right now, right where you are? Pray this prayer with me and mean it. Jesus, I need something radical to happen in my life. Please forgive me of my sins. Please come into my life. Thank you for dying for me and giving me the hope of heaven. Help me to live a radical life for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, send us an email to prayer@calvaryfv.com so we can pray for you by name and send you some information to help you with your walk with Jesus. God bless you.